ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget, and more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, right now, while we're trying to get our regularly scheduled guests for this hour, we'll open up our lines at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But right now, of course, we could talk a little bit about, there's a new piece of legislation. I believe it's House Resolution 645, and perhaps you can correct me on that if not exactly right, but it deals with the resolution trying to get the Army and the military to actually set up detention camps on Army bases across America. Now, I think it's very interesting that suddenly at this time in history, they're talking about setting up at least 6 detention camps across America in military facilities where people can be, well, we're not sure they're going to be put there in case of an emergency or a crisis or civilian unrest. We don't know what it's all about, but I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, they've been planning this for a long time. They have these facilities. They've been around for a long time. If you haven't seen our DVD, America Behind Barbed Wire, put out by our good friend David Wagner, you need to get it. Our 4-tape set on concentration camps in America and the history of concentration camps in America and, of course, what they did with the Japanese during the Second World War. Totally unconstitutional, but they put American citizens in concentration camps in the name of the greater good. Well, Larry Pratt's with us right now. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
I am doing so well, Stan. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you, and we're looking forward to having you every month at this same time and at this same slot. So we'd like you to tell us what's going on. You know, have they put in the new gun legislation to try, by one means or another, to restrict our ability to have weapons to defend ourselves?
A lot of it's been filed, and there's more to come. And in fact, I heard you talking about the detention centers, and it's interesting that one of the bills, I'm not sure if there's more, but at least one of them, put in by a man who was impeached by the Congress as a judge. His moral turpitude was such, you know, it's very difficult to get impeached successfully by the U.S. Congress. They obviously have no problem putting tax cheats in charge of collecting taxes. And so for Alcee Hastings to get impeached means he must be a piece of work. Now, this great giant of moral leadership has introduced a bill for these detention camps.
How did he get into Congress?
Well, see, that's what voters can do when they don't know any better.
Yeah, well, that's because the media is controlled. They don't tell you how corrupt the people are, but go ahead.
I think you have something there, too. So that's clearly one shoe that's about to drop. Another, and I just was talking to a refugee from communism, Martin Sudis, who spent a lot of his formative years in Czechoslovakia, and when he saw, he's got a little radio station, when he saw a radio show that Obama was talking about a national civilian security force, uh-oh, I've been there, done that. you have when you have a totalitarian government that doesn't believe in something like the militia that we have in our Constitution.
In other words, these are people who are there to protect the government, and of course, but my fear is we've got a system of informants all across this country already.
Well, like any militia, they protect the sovereign, and you're right. In this case, the government.
Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment with Larry Pratt, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon, or in the East Coast this evening, is Larry Pratt of Gun Owners for America, somebody I always look forward to having on. Hopefully he'll be with us every month at least one time so he can keep you abreast of what's going on. And we've simply been talking about this new piece of legislation that has been put in that calls for the formation and establishment of detention camps on military bases all across America. You pick up the story there, Larry. We just brought on some news stations who didn't hear you talking about this so-called honorable gentleman, congressman who put it in. Actually, he'd been impeached as a judge. He was so corrupt. And now he's serving in Congress. Well, what do they say about birds of a feather? Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
It's an amazing thing. And obviously, he has no shame. The thing that's so disturbing about it is that it is introduced at a time when we have a president who campaigned on the idea that we need a national civilian security force, and that's very much a communist, well, not just a communist, it's a Nazi idea, whether it was the Human Corps of Germany, the pioneers of the Soviet Union, the Venceremos Brigades of communist Cuba, etc., etc. The National Civilian Security Force is something that is to protect the government.
And, of course, the thing is that traditionally we were never to have a federal police force. We were never to have a federal Gestapo. They didn't have the we didn't have an FBI. Really, in time of the time of Prohibition, we did not have a CIA. We did not have an NSA that is listening to all of our telephone conversations long before, of course, September 11th. But they can't let the American people know that. But all you need to do is go up on the Internet and look up Project Echelon, Echelon. Great articles up there on Wikipedia. Understand, these are the things you will never hear about from the establishment commentators, even the so-called conservative establishment commentators who argue with the liberal commentators, and it's all showbiz. But right now, of course, they want to expand federal monitoring, a civilian, what do they call the official name?
National Civilian Security Force.
Isn't that nice to know that the government is here, but they're not looking to secure us. They're looking to secure the government.
Yes.
Because, of course, they're becoming more autocratic, and they're already talking about setting up federal detention camps, not prisons.
If they were thinking of helping the people protect themselves, they would talk about the congressional
hold that thought, to protect the
militia to build it up.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Larry was just talking about these detention camps that are going in, and then he's talking about this civilian force that the president wants, a national civilian force that's got to sort of monitor everything going on in the country. But it's not to protect the states. It's not to, in fact, protect the individuals. It's to protect the federal government. And why does the federal government need protection from the people? Unless it's planning on doing things that will take away the freedom of the people. And
well, there's an inherent view that the people are the actual or potential enemy, and that and perhaps even more dangerous a notion is that it's the federal government that is the sovereign, not the people. And that means we've come to the point where we're right back where we were under the British king, where he viewed himself and the parliament as the sovereign, and the people were just to shut up and do what we were told. And when we said, no, you got that wrong, well, they got angry and started shooting at us. And imagine, we shot back. Well, can't have that. Well, that's really the mentality that we're dealing with right now. And it's not that Obama is new in espousing this. I think he's more clear in his thinking about it. He knows more, and he's willing to work more aggressively for it. But George Bush was operating under the same assumptions to the extent that he was cognizant of what he was doing. Because when he went for the Department of Homeland Security, that in itself was a tacit repudiation of the constitutional militia. We can't rely on a bunch of bubis Americanas to defend the country, let alone anything themselves, whatever. We've got to do it here from Washington. That's the only place where real solutions come, is from the center, from Washington. Let's hear it for centralized government.
And, of course, that was what our founding fathers feared. They feared a highly centralized government.
They fought against it.
And, of course, this is why when they, if you read Thomas Jefferson, he said, you know, let's take the chains off of the people and put the chains on to government. And then echoing John Locke, who was a philosopher in the 1600s, that government governs best that governs the least. Freedom, liberty, and limited government are synonymous. But you see, we're moving towards a totalitarian government. We've got to have government control. I mean, how else are we going to deal with this financial mess that the government has created? I mean, how are we going to create jobs? Our companies are shutting down. They're shutting down because of government policies.
Government is sucking all the money out of the economy. Of course the economy is experiencing unemployment and financial distress and businesses closing down because of the very lifeblood, money, is being all sucked up by the government. So I couldn't agree with you more. And if they want to suck up all the money and maybe we decide, wait a minute, that's just too much, they're going to have ways of dealing with people who have those ideas. That's hate speech, to point out that the government's taking too much.
Well, you know, it's really very interesting. On the very day that Henry Paulson, the Secretary of Treasury, got, you know, the $700 billion on that very day, October 3rd of last year, the Federal Reserve began paying interest on the money that was deposited with them. Now, ever since the Fed was created back in 1913, they have never paid interest. And what that did was give the banks an incentive not to lend money. Ordinarily, there'd be about $8 billion deposited as reserves under our fractional reserve system, $8 billion deposited with the Fed. It's well over $500 billion. All the money that should have been let out has been sucked up by the government, and they did that intentionally to create the crisis, but they can't let the public know that they created the crisis because they've got a solution. Evermore,
you know,
government
Rahm Emanuel was very clear, and I'm sure you've quoted this more than once, that when he was addressing some people just before they actually took over, it was in that interregnum after the election or the inauguration, and he was speaking about the economic collapse that was even then occurring. We can't afford to not take advantage of any crisis. And I would go one step further. Although he didn't say it, I think it's implicit in his thinking and in Obama's thinking that, listen, if we've got a crisis on our hands, hot dog, happy days are here again. Let's do what we can to make sure the crisis intensifies. That will give us even more justification for grabbing even more power.
And I fear you're right. What's this about the wanting now to interfere with our ability to get ammunition, to have every bullet have a number on it? Something that foolish is that? What's this all about? I mean, we have a right to keep and bear arms. It's guaranteed under the Constitution. So it seems they're going to figure a way around it, a means of making ammunition so expensive and difficult that we really won't have access to it.
Yep.
They fear the people. And
it would be a lovely form of backdoor gun control. Hey, you got your guns. What's the problem? Well, yeah, but there's no bullets in it. You might as well put them behind a glass case and look at them whenever you want to look at them, because that's about all you'll be able to do with them. What they're proposing, by the way, is a form of registration, assuming it were to ever be something they could actually put into practice. And as a form of registration of guns, gun owners, ammunition, we can say with great certainty from the registration schemes that have been enforced in the past, they do not solve crimes. They are not crime-fighting tools.
In fact, they have, certainly in the countries where they've taken the guns away from the people, in Australia, certainly in Canada, and in Great Britain, the incidence of gun crimes has increased once they disarmed the people so they had no defense against the criminals.
And it's worse than Britain because they virtually banned all guns, confiscated them. And so we have the experience of just direct registration, which is very close to the serialization on bullets. Handguns have been registered in Hawaii and Canada since the 30s. Never once have those registration databases led to the solving of a crime. They find the gun when they find the perpetrator. It's what I told the media during the Beltway Sniper, the two Muslim converts that were driving around the Beltway here in Washington, killing people at random, and it had the area pretty well terrorized, and the authorities began going through homes in Maryland because they figured that the shooter was a lone loser, kind of a bitter clinger, if you will, a guy that was economically frustrated, to use the Marxist concept that Obama used to talk about gun owners and religious people. They're just bitterly clinging to their guns and their Bibles. Well, the assumption that was made during the Beltway Sniper episodes was that this was some kind of economically frustrated loser, a white guy in a white van, some kind of tradesman from a, you know, a lower middle class neighborhood. And so they got the list of all the people that had ever bought a rifle in Maryland with the caliber being used by the sniper. They went door to door. And it was, I think, an eye-opener. It should have been for those who go to gun stores and buy guns and find they're filling out a federal form. That's what the federal form is supposed to be used for, is a registration device to, quote, solve crimes. And I told the media, they're not going to find a gun that way. If they ever find a gun, it'll be at the time they apprehend the perpetrator. And indeed, what happened, some motorists saw the Beltway snipers in a dark van, a couple of black guys who had converted to Islam. They were asleep in their black car, and one of them was cradling the murder weapon. So it was exactly as I had told the media. Naturally, we heard not a peep that somebody had predicted how the gun would be found. But that's what registration doesn't do. What registration can do, and you've already alluded to it, it's a dandy way for governments that want to grab the guns from the peaceful citizens of the society, because they know they're not going to get them from the criminals, is to use a registration list. And then the criminals think, in fact, if the criminals were organized enough, which probably they're not, otherwise they'd be in office as a political party. But
maybe they really are. We just don't know about it.
Right. Yeah. Maybe that's been why it's so hard to deal with these guys. But the criminals make out, if you'll permit me, like bandits. Every time gun control is increased, their job security increases along with it because they know that their victims are going to be much less likely to effectively respond. And so that's what registration does. And the bullet serialization that they're talking about is a registration scheme. And the reason it would price ammunition to the moon, as you've said, is the serialization would be on the casing of the bullet as well as the bullet itself. Now, a little problem with their theory is that bullets tend to bust up to a small degree or a major extent when they hit anything, and the likelihood of the serialization being any good is somewhere between slim and none. But nevertheless, to put it on would be done by lasers. Now, already in bullet factories, you can't take a flash camera in because they're concerned that if you were to send out even that little bit of flash from the camera, everybody might be on their way to the moon. A laser would have you in the next galaxy. So naturally, ammunition won't be made the way it is now. It'll be made in two different steps, much slower, much more expensive. There's your backdoor gun control.
And, of course, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the people who want gun control are not concerned about children being killed. They're concerned about people control. And every nation at all that's had gun control, you eventually end up with a dictatorship. It happened in Armenia. It happened in Rwanda. It happened in Hitler's Germany. And, ladies and gentlemen, there are people who'd like to have that same thing right here in America. Well, go right ahead, Larry.
Well, we're dealing with a notion that might actually have some traction because, hey, this is not really gun control, you know, folks, and of course the media will play along with that. The only thing we've really got going here is that even in California so far, where they would love to have this kind of a system, they have not figured out how it could work. And they've had studies, and the studies have said, nah. So, oddly enough, the antis in government and some of the states have done some of the research for us to show just how bad it is. But if folks want to, you know, they don't have to take just my word for it here at Gun Owners of America. You can go to the National Shooting Sports Foundation. They have a very well-presented list of the problems and why it would drive the cost of ammunition through the roof if something like this were done, and why it wouldn't work anyway. But then, of course, when we say it wouldn't work, that's only when we assume that it was designed to catch criminals. They know that's not going to happen. That's not what they're concerned about. They want to catch the peaceful citizens, the good folks of America, because those are the ones they're concerned about. They're not worried about criminals. These folks that love big government have never been concerned about criminals. If they didn't have them, they would have to invent them, because criminals give them an excuse, a crisis, if you will, like the Rahm Emanuel view about our economic crisis. Well, criminals, when they commit crimes, give authorities at the central level, especially of government, another excuse to come down with more big government solutions to that criminal crisis. It's really a neat plan.
And, of course, they use this over and over and over again, whether it be the financial
crisis. It's like Linus and Lucy. You know, Lucy, this time you're not going to hold up on the ball, right? You're going to let me kick it, right? Boom. And he's down on his keister again. It just never fails.
Well, you know, Larry, I think that it's so important that we raise all the awareness that we can in people across America that this administration is going to do everything they can to bring in gun control. And, of course, my fear is that we are moving into a period of chaos and crisis across America. If they did not know this was going to happen, they would not be making public statements about the development of the detention camps in, you know, or detention centers and military camps across America. So, I mean, I think that it behooves people to get educated and understand that, you know, freedom once lost is never regained, and there really are people who want a dictatorship here. In fact, but wasn't it Senator Dodd who actually got the German, the Nazi gun control laws translated into English and then actually voted into law here in the United States?
The present Senator Dodd's father, Senator Thomas Dodd, was one of the prosecutors in Nuremberg. He brought back the German criminal code and was familiar enough with it that prior to his introduction and the ultimate passage of the 1968 Gun Control Act, he sent the Nazi gun control law to the Library of Congress to be translated from German into English. And we know that that happened because the Jews for Preservation of Firearms Ownership managed to snag the transmittal letter years later to Senator Dodd from somebody at the Library of Congress.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. And Larry was just talking about the fact that Senator Thomas Dodd, now that's the father of Chris Dodd, who's
right,
the senator today, but Senator Thomas Dodd had been at Nuremberg as a prosecutor there. And it actually brought back the Nazi laws on gun control and had them actually translated into English. And those were the laws that were brought into America. Why would we want the Nazi laws here? Why, there are many people who didn't think there was much wrong with the Nazis, and they wanted to use their good ideas like gun control in America.
Years later, by the way, a gun control advocate was asked that very kind of question that you just posed. Why would you want to copy a Nazi law? Well, it was a law that was in use for an industrialized society just like we are, and that's why it would be a good idea.
People don't understand that there really are people out there who see nothing wrong with the Nazis. Most people have never heard of Operation Paperclip, where literally thousands of the most brutal of the Nazis were brought to America. We've got a 4-tape set on that. You can check it out on the Internet. You can even go up on the Internet and look up Senator Dodd and on Wikipedia, and the article there talks about how he actually had gotten the Nazi the laws translated into English. I was surprised to see it up there, but it certainly corroborates what Larry has been saying. But they can't let the American people know that there are people out there who have an entirely different worldview. They don't believe in freedom. They believe the Constitution is archaic. Why? Because it limits the power of the elite who want to rule us. But go right ahead, Larry.
You know, there's been another measure introduced into the Congress which ought to concern people greatly. Representative Bobby Rush has introduced a massive national licensing scheme, and for those who think there's a difference between licensing and registration, believe me, he's talking about a license for each gun that a gun owner might own, not only from the time of the passage of the bill on into the future, but into the past as well. He wants them all. He wants to know about all of them. And again, let's remember, licensing, registration doesn't solve crimes. It only enables government to confiscate people's guns when they think people need to have their guns confiscated. Now, Representative Rush is kind of a cheeky fellow, in my opinion. Here's a guy who, back in the 60s, was one of the founders and leading lights of the Black Panthers. Today we might liken them to Al-Qaeda. They weren't nearly as proficient, but they were nevertheless a bunch of thugs running around thinking nothing of trying to kill people. Happily, mostly they just killed each other, but nevertheless, they were bad dudes, and Representative Rush, formerly alderman in Chicago, Bobby Rush, when he was a Black Panther, got into some illegal gun stuff and did 5 months in jail on gun charges. Now, it's my guess that that serves as the basis for his expertise for putting forth a gun control law now, in as much as he's had so much experience with illegal guns that now he feels qualified to tell the rest of us how we ought to have our guns registered. And under his control, it almost sounds to me as if the Black Panther from the 1960s has finally figured out a way to get his enemy, Whitey, under control. What kind of a country is this that allows people like that to be taken seriously? He should be laughed out of Congress and certainly laughed out of office for proposing something. This is a crook for gun control.
And you wonder, why would the people elect him? And I would suspect it's because they really don't know, because the press is controlled. Most of the major radio outlets and television is controlled, so the people do not know about the corruption. I would just comment that
on the Internet, but you have to look pretty hard to find that the guy did 5 months in jail on gun charges. That's not something, as you're saying, that the press wants to really hammer away. Now, if one of us had made some kind of a proposal that was unpopular with the other side, you can imagine that a 5 months in jail for anything, man, that would have been on the front page of the New York Times for the last month.
I know. Well, of course, the trouble is that until people understand the media really is controlled in America, first, one of the things that got me involved in this 46 years ago was a realization. that the media was controlled, that we were not getting the truth. And, of course, there are many people in Congress with criminal backgrounds, many people in the state legislature with criminal backgrounds. Sometimes, of course, the people that they go after are the good guys. And, of course, like everybody remembers, Tom DeLay, he was indicted, forced out of Congress. You remember what happened at the trial? There wasn't any trial.
Funny thing.
I wonder why.
Trial by accusation.
Yeah, right. But they got rid of him. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America. So you pick up the story, Larry.
Well, we're dealing with a kind of a revealing of the way that a lot of these folks in power think about us. They think that we need to be controlled. And I've got to admit, I may have been in error. I'm not completely sure what to think yet. But let me just tell you that initially, before Obama took office, I was assuming that, like other Democrats, he would not want to do anything that would, say, put his fellow Democrats on the record in the Congress voting for something that was clearly identified as gun control. Now, that wouldn't preclude trying to stick it to gun shows because he could have the support of John McCain, the man who calls himself a maverick, but I now have come to understand what he really means by maverick. For John McCain, that's just being a political cross-dresser. But John McCain has put in and backed for quite some time measures that would mess up gun shows, and that's what I would have thought, and it still may be. The first thing that comes at us, and if they pick something that the NRA, a version of it that the NRA has supported in the past, we're going to have a devil of a time stopping something like that because it's not gun control, it's bipartisan. Everybody supports it on all sides of the spectrum, all ends of the spectrum. Therefore, let's just go and do it by unanimous consent, the way they did the Veterans Disarmament Act a year and a half ago. So that was my assumption, and I still think that that's probably one of the very first things that's going to come at us. But I was surprised, and I'm not quite sure, as I say, what to think, that immediately upon being inaugurated, the WhiteHouse.gov website had something dealing with the Clinton gun ban being renewed. Now, when I first heard this, I went on the website, the WhiteHouse.gov website, and I couldn't find it. And I thought, this is one of those urban legends that goes around. Probably something that might be true, but nevertheless, it ain't there. Well, the next day, somebody else pointed out, and they said, oh, no, but you didn't look in the right place. It's under urban policy. And so, you know, it's such a big problem in the urban areas. Yeah, right. Anyway, sure enough, that's where it was. And I thought, well, you know, if Obama's putting that there on his website, at a minimum, he's doing it to pacify the communist base, the MoveOn.org.
Hold up. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Larry Pratt, and he's just talking about that President Obama is actually beginning to push this idea of gun registration, a prelude to gun confiscation. But you pick up the rest of the story there, Ben.
Well, sure enough, there was on the WhiteHouse.gov website the renewal of the Clinton gun ban being called for. So at a minimum, he's got to be catering to his hard left base, but it also, since he's got it right there on that website, could well be some of the things he's willing to push. Now, I think we could stop him on that, and I think he would stub his toe and he would hurt his fellow Democrats in the Congress just the way Bill Clinton did. So I'm still kind of a mind to think that they're not going to push for something that would be so easily identified as gun control, at least not right away. What I would think is they'll go for the hit on the gun shows, the John McCain bipartisan approach. And they'll also do a world of hurt through regulation through ramping up what was already bad enough under Bush, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and their jihad against gun dealers, gun manufacturers, and gun owners. That, I think, for instance, one thing that I'm surprised we haven't seen the executive order on it yet, is taking the powers that are unconstitutionally given them under the 1968 Gun Control Act, under that Senator Thomas Dodd Nazi Gun Control Act, the power to regulate importation of guns and ammo depending on whether or not they are, quote, suitable for sporting use, end quote. Now, of course, as we all know, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment says that the right of the people to keep and bear sporting arms shall not be infringed. It just says arms, and the idea that somehow sporting arms are the only thing that we would be allowed to have is a Nazi notion, for sure, and it was imported directly into our law. That is lying there and has been lying there like a time bomb. My concern is that the hour and the minute hand are getting mighty close to being one on top of the other, total vertical, end of game, boom. That thing's ready to go off and ban a huge amount of things that might be able otherwise to come into the country as an import. And, you know, that's exactly what King George did to the colonists in 1775 and 1776. He was banning the importation of firearms and ammo, just like I'm sure they could do right now, because the Republicans never rolled that back when they were in control of the government, at least, be fair to them, nominal control. There were a number of Republicans that were very much for gun control and big government. But nevertheless, there was not even the effort made. There was never an effort to put the opponents of freedom on the record so that more damage could be done to those opponents of freedom, as was done during the 1994 elections. We can't get voters to pay attention if we don't give them a record to pay attention to. And that's been a mighty big frustration for us here at Gun Owners of America in trying to get things done, is that the Republicans seem to have this idea that unless you can show how you can win on the first battle of the campaign without any shots coming back, without any chance of loss, they're not willing to take any risk.
Well, you know, the Democrats do it all the time. Why are the Democrats so much smarter than the Republicans? Or maybe the Republicans aren't really trying to win in this issue.
Well, at a minimum, they are the stupid party that some have made them out to be.
I think you're very, very, very kind, Larry. Well, before we go
on. One of the things that people should go for, I think, is the book that's on our website at gunowners.org. We have a bookstore that they can take advantage of, and your friend and mine, retired senator from California, Bill Richardson, H.L. Richardson, wrote a book, Confrontational Politics.
I know. It's a wonderful book.
And that helps it.
And I love his other book, of course. So it says, you don't really think we read the laws, do you remember that?
Exactly right. Well,
he was a senator for many years, and he wrote a book, you don't really think we read the laws and before we vote on them. And that's true. Most of the congressmen don't even bother to read the laws.
Well,
they don't even know what's in them.
They don't even know what's in their own because somebody else wrote them. So the Confrontational Politics book really explains what's going on in the political system and shows that inherently confrontation is what politics is about. Too often the Republicans think that, well, if they can just be collegial, then everything's going to work nicely. The big, huge mistake that they're making, if they really believe that, is that the other side, the socialists, who are mostly the Democrats, don't have that assumption. They look at politics as war without bullets. They are there to win a total victory. They are there to make sure the opposition has been made destitute and destroyed and removed from the picture.
And in fact, they want a total government control over the lives of the people. That's what socialism is all about. It's a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory, but it doesn't work without force.
Now, you're being kind, but...
somebody is going to be in control, and that's why so many people of great wealth actually support socialism. Our telephone number, well, first of all, before we go on, Larry, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your website. You've already given it, but I want you to get your telephone number out. And I want you to tell the people why they need to go to your website and why they need to get involved and why they ought to join Gun Owners of America.
Well, the site is gunowners.org. And if they go there, if they go to gunowners.org, they will find that they can get a free subscription to our email alerts. And that's, I think, one of the most popular features on our site. It's something that comes out maybe once, maybe twice a week, and it provides a way for communicating easily back to the Congress, to the administration, whatever it is that Gun Owners has been up to here in Washington. This is the way to find out what's happening. And frankly, there's going to be more happening now in a not very positive way, by and large, than ever was the case under Bush. It's ramping up because we've got such a much more well-thought-out socialist team A that has taken over the government. So being part of this fight, you can do it and do it quickly and easily. Just go to gunowners.org. Now, if you can't get on the web, you can at least call to get information on getting on our mailing list, which... it's all of $20, and you can do that on the web, too. But if you call, you can call toll-free 888-888-6-GUNS. That's 888-886-GUNS. And that will get you so that you can give some information to get a whole bunch of material sent to you about what we're doing at Gun Owners of America.
And this is one of the few organizations I can recommend without qualification. I first met Senator Richardson of Form Gunners of America 46 years ago in a hotel room in San Jose, and that's really where I got a lot of my ideas that are still with me today. This book on confrontational politics, very important. So now if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to talk to Larry, the telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But I would simply point out, I believe we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis. And I think as more and more people lose their jobs and lose their homes and lose their pensions and lose their life savings, they're going to be extremely unhappy. And they will be agitated and they're doing things that they should not do. The important thing is to help us educate the American people and let them understand that, well, of course, you know, there's a lot of hanky-panky with the electoral process. I was just reading today where we paid for exit polls for the election in Kenya. And we came to the conclusion, looking at the exit polls, that the election had been fudged. Well, of course, you go back and look at the election polls in Ohio back in 2004, and John Kerry won the election there by the exit polls. But, of course, we didn't do anything about that, or looking into the election. We didn't suggest it was fudged there, even though it's a fact that in one precinct with 800 voters, George Bush got over 1,200 votes. We'll be right back here. Let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Stan. Back when you were talking about the Bill Clinton and his gun bill, it made me recall in a speech when Bill Clinton, once again, looking very much like the cat that ate the canary, was talking about how his legislation was primarily targeted against the guns most favored by assassins, which would be the .22. And I wondered if there's any language like that that Larry Pratt has run across in some of this current stuff.
How about Saturday Night Special? I love that term. Oh, it's a Saturday Night Special. You want to get rid of those Saturday Night Specials. Go ahead.
You don't find language like that in the bills themselves, but you certainly do find them, as you suggest, caller, in the rhetoric that is used to promote gun control. It's a sniper gun. Well, watch out, hunters. That's what your rifle with a scope on it is going to be called. The idea of sniper anything, assassin anything, these are not precise terms, but they are wonderful, colorful terms that can be used to prejudice people who don't know anything about guns into thinking, oh, my, we really have a problem. We've got to have, oh, I am so glad that Bobby Rush or that Representative Hastings have these bills in there. Really a good thing that President Obama is on the record in support of renewing the Clinton gun ban, because we know what kind of a crime problem those have made, right? Well, actually, the data don't say any such thing at all. But, hey, we're not supposed to think. We're just supposed to listen to the rhetoric and feel.
It's about time the American people knew that the more guns you have, the less crime. When you have an armed population, you don't have a lot of crimes. It's certainly every school in the country is a shooting gallery because nobody can have a gun there to defend the children. Let's go to anything else, Mike, before we...
If we succeed in changing Obama's mind about anything like gun laws, well, they might just send them to Dallas.
All right. Okay. Thanks very much. Let's go to Steve in Pennsylvania. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And hey, Steve, what part of Pennsylvania are you calling from?
Pennsylvania.
All right. Fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I'd just like to say that I've been a member of Gun Owners of America for 5 years.
Thank you.
And I've always made the kind of like the minimum contribution because I'm on a fixed income. But every year they more than, I just don't know how they survive on what they're doing. And I've been really, you hear things that the NRA will, I'm also a member of the NRA. And the publications that the Gun Owners of America has been putting out has all been very truthful, very straightforward, and there's just no comparison between the two.
Well, I'll tell you what, I gave up my NRA membership a long time ago, and I support Gun Owners of America because I believe in what they're doing, and I believe that they are one of the few organizations out there that's really straightforward. Sometimes NRA will compromise on the most incredible things, and every time you compromise, you lose. Hey, anything else, Steve, before we let you go?
Well, the only other thing I have, Dr. Stan, is... you know, it's 16 days now before we go to this new HDTV.
Right.
And I believe after we go to this new HDTV, everybody will have wanted to put in their reserve food, their water filters, and reserve everything that they've ever wanted to have because, Dr. Stan, we're being played like a... We're being played like a harmonica.
Like a Stradivarius.
We're not the one blowing into it. We're just the ones that are getting the end of it there. So.
God bless you, Steve. Let's go to Dan, who's calling from Pennsylvania as well. Hi, Dan. You have a question?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Yes, I do. Larry, I heard you the other night talking, and I had a question. There was so much going on, I changed it. But, you know, the boot camp program for juveniles, that has been going on since Clinton years. And right there you have a whole bunch of boots ready to go on the ground because when I was hiking up in northern Pennsylvania, the trail I was hiking comes about a mile from this one place, and they were doing cadence down there in their marching fields. I could hear them. What comments do you have about these boot camps, and how can they be enlisted into this, youth conservation corps, whatever you want to call it?
Do you have any thoughts on that at all, Larry?
Well, it's an amazing thing that the federal government thinks that it has any kind of authority from the Constitution to do something like that, and it's one more indication that the folks running the federal government don't pay any attention to the Constitution, and so that's not going to restrain them when it comes to their desire to ban, regulate, otherwise discombobulate the militia and the armed citizenry of this country. And what you're pointing to it ought to concern us all, because that's... When you're going after the young people and you're doing it from the central government, you know, it'd be one thing if it were being done at the local school district. I wouldn't support that, but I can do something about it at the local level. What do you do when it's being run by Washington? It's really something that's beyond accountability. And that's what makes it doubly obnoxious.
And that's what our founding fathers feared, was this federal control and regulation and a federal police force. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Dan. Let's go
to
Ernie in Nebraska. Hi, Ernie. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. I appreciate what Mr. Pratt is doing. I used to be a diehard NRA member, and I was my testimony back in 1995 was responsible for killing a semi-auto ban in Nebraska before the judiciary committee. The sponsor actually stormed out of the committee room during my testimony because I pointed out what he was doing was patently illegal. Anyway, I used to know Clarence Lovell, who used to be on the NRA board of directors years ago. When they passed the Brady Bill, think about what the NRA gave us. Clarence Lovell had proposed a true protection for firearms owners, but they had already, the NRA board had decided that they've already gone too far with the Brady Bill sunset clause and the instant check system. And what the NRA did was create more basically fundraising opportunities for themselves, because they traded a background check on only handguns in some states through the Brady Bill for an instant check that is a background check and backdoor registration through access to NCIC on all guns in all states.
Well, you know, freedom never closed thine eyes. Freedom never closed thine eyes in slumber, for thy enemies never sleep. Would you like to comment briefly on that, Larry?
We got the worst of all possible worlds. A bad deal for the waiting period, but that would have been less onerous than the registration that came through the background check. Caller's dead on.
And I think that I thank Ernie very much for giving us a call. We're just about out of time here. Our guest has been Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America. And they're a great organization. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program.
Thanks, Dan.
Well, Larry, you've got 3 minutes. You're not done yet. You've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Well, I just appreciate so much, and it was wonderful that some of your listeners were calling in and saying such nice things. We couldn't operate without the support of thousands and thousands of Americans, and even like I think it was the caller Steve, even if they're on a limited budget, whatever they can make available to us, truly every little bit does help, and that's what's kept us in the fight over the years. The fight's going to be even more intense than it's been in the last 8 years, and I just can't encourage people too strongly to go to gunowners.org. There's a free alert subscription that they can get, and that's one of the easiest ways to get in the battle is, and when you're on that list, not only hopefully respond and put the heat on members of Congress yourself, but pass that word around, because as we grow and as we get more people getting this information, that's when the politicians realize that they're being watched, and if there's any way to slow them down, it's going to be when they think the heat's too great. You and I have chuckled about this many times in the past, and I'll say it again, that one of Senator Everett Dirksen's favorite sayings was, "When I feel the heat, I see the light." And they feel the heat when there's more people giving them more heat. Some of them have a very high threshold for heat. So we need a lot more members to fight this battle, and I hope people will take advantage of our offer there at gunowners.org and get that free subscription.
And I think it's really so important that people realize we are the vast majority. The vast majority of the people want the right, you know, whether they're liberals or conservatives, they want the right to keep and bear arms. In fact, that was one of the big issues back in the 1994 Republican sweep of the House, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we are back in a position where there's no illusion now. A lot of people, I think, had the hope that under the Republicans, we didn't have to do anything. And that was the big error that was being made then, because that was the time to double down and to make sure that the Republicans did what they said they were going to do in their campaigns. When they realized that a lot of us had slackened off, they thought, this is the time to really dig in deep into the end of the trough and suck up all those goodies and let's earmark and pork away. And they forgot all about the agenda that got them into power. And in part, it was our fault because we weren't putting the heat on them.
Hey, we're out of time, Larry. Bye-bye. God bless.
You too. Thanks.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope you enjoyed our conversation with Larry Pratt, and hopefully he will be with us every month at the same time, once a month, and we just want you to be abreast of what's really going on in Washington, D.C. Now, there's going to be an effort to disarm our people in preparation for a dictatorship. If you have not yet seen my talk on the planned police state, and certainly got the syllabus that goes with that, you have to get it, you need that, you need to get our talk on the forbidden secret, because it all goes together. There are occult forces working in background, and we simply quote from their website, from their literature. They will tell you their people are in control. But of course, nobody else is going to tell you that the background of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and the Trilateral Commission is all in the occult. And it's not just simply by accident that the logo of the Trilateral Commission is an upside-down broken cross in the very center of it. Look at it, understand. You need to get our book on Freemasonic and occult symbols. I mean, they hide their emblems in plain sight. You need to get our new DVD. The Eye of the Phoenix goes into the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, and the president who put it there, the same president who eventually the people he appointed to the Supreme Court to God in prayer out of our schools, it all fits together once you understand where the dots are. And then, of course, if you haven't laid in your supply of long-term food for storage, why, of course, we work with Ready Reserve. You get it to us at the same price. You'll get it to through Ready Reserve at wholesale prices. They're giving a very, very good deal. And suddenly, if you'd like to get a Berkey water filter, if you'd like to lay in a supply of health products, and then we're recommending the seeds in a can. They're advertising with us, and Harvey's a very nice guy, he's one who runs it, and this is long-term storage. It's in a can, it's sealed, and they'll last for up to 10 years if you go ahead and put them in your refrigerator. You want to have the things on hand. We're moving into a period of crisis and chaos, and this is all planned. They are following a timetable, and they know exactly what they're doing. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, or 1-800-5-HIV. War, because America is under attack from within today. Please go to our website at radioliberty.com. radioliberty.com. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it and read it. And if you can't afford it, go to our website at radioliberty.com. And the video is there under videos. Watch it. Understand. Learn what nobody else will tell you about who is really running what's going on today. And then remember that we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So therefore put ye on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in these last days, and having done all, to stand. Understand, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, the survival of Christian civilization, and the Christian church, unfortunately, is not doing very much, and they're certainly not addressing the issues that we address. The forces that are behind this effort to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people. If you haven't read my November and December Radio Liberty letters, if you get anything from us, you can request a copy or go to our website at radioliberty.com. If you'd like to get the pamphlet put out by the Luciferians about the working of the spiritual hierarchy, if you order anything, we'll be glad to send you a copy of that. Certainly, you need to get the information that's available if you have not yet seen the DVDs. The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning by Chris Pinto. The Riddles in a Stone by Chris Pinto. The Eye of the Phoenix by Chris Pinto. And then, of course, we actually have our own DVD where Chris Pinto was our speaker, and he talks about the Atlantis connection, because America is to be the Atlantis, to lead the whole world into this one-world government. And, of course, why do you think we're really still fighting over in Afghanistan? Are we fighting there to catch Osama bin Laden, like we were told? Or have they been lied to at every turn, and our boys sent to bleed and die for absolutely nothing, other than the establishment of the New World Order? Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.
Yeah. You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.